It's 88.5 KCSN. It's Sky Daniels, and we have Ziggy Marley, who's come out and made the trek to the new Mecca of music, Northridge, CA. Ziggy, welcome to KCSN.
Yeah, thank you.
It's great to have you here, and it's great to have you in town. Let's talk about the reason why you're in town. You're going to be doing a show Saturday night at Club Nokia.
Yeah.
And you're actually doing a thing which is pretty cool. You're asking the people to come to the show to bring books.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that plan.
Yeah, we're asking people to bring use children books, our new children books. We have a foundation which is called Urge, which every time I do a concert, there's always some funds from the concert that goes to the foundation. What the foundation does is we help children, mostly in Jamaica, where we adopted a school, and we're trying to just improve the learning environment and improve the education system there, and getting books to the kids is a part of that.
And it's a, you know, it's something, here we are in the holiday season, and it's certainly a simple request to look around the house, see if you have a nice used children's book in good shape, and bring it along.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of those at home, so I'll be bringing a few myself, you know.
I have two older sons, and we still have a multitude of books, so I can bring some. I know I could bring a bunch of them. I don't think they're, well, one of them's getting old enough to have his own son, so maybe I keep a couple for
him. All right.
Now, congratulations, another Grammy nomination. How many nominations altogether have you had? I know you've won 5, right?
Yeah. I don't know, probably 7, 8 maybe nominations altogether. The thrill for me with music is to play in front of people and to hear people's, how the music has affected people. That's the thrill, you know what I'm saying?
The real connection.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thrill right there. The Grammys thing is nice, but the real thrill is in the people that the music affect, you know?
Yeah, it obviously, everyone likes to get awards on Earth. Yeah. But there's a higher award out there.
Yeah, man. It's,
And speaking of that, you worked on the new record, Wild and Free, with Don Was.
Yeah.
Who's a friend of the station, comes by often.
Nice.
And he described that at this stage of your musical journey, that you obviously have a deep love and respect for the traditions of reggae.
True.
But you continue, and especially on this record working with him, you wanted to find other ways to incorporate other ideas and sounds within the traditional reggae structure to continue to expand how you approached reggae. Talk to us about your ideas of going into Wild and Free and some of the things that you and Don worked on together.
Yeah, well, for Wild and Free, I definitely wanted to use the roots of reggae or the traditional sounds of reggae as a foundation to build on. But as I am of my generation and living in now, there's still elements that inspire me musically that is incorporated into what is traditional. And so it gives us a good creative experience, so that we're not just repeating history, but we're adding to the history and we're making maybe new history. And so my music has its own sound, you know, my songs and what we do, there's always something familiar but something different about it, you know.
And you know, you know obviously with the legacy that you continue, the Tuff Gong legacy, you have to balance, I guess, that sense of respect for the legacy, as well as continuing, as you say, to evolve and create new relevance, I guess, for a generation who hears different sounds and responds to different sounds. Do you find yourself at times, do you ever feel that there is an expectation that, you know, you're to, you know, stay within certain confines, and that you have to kind of push those out, or do you never feel any confines in that regard?
No, I mean, the confines that I've made and I've gotten out of is the ones I put myself in, really. I'm sure people have their idea what, you know, each musician should do, or you know, what kind of music they should do. I'm sure A lot of artists have that from the people they're making music for, that, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe this artist should only do that or should stay within that. But as an artist and as a human being myself, I mean, all confines that I've ever been in is ones that I put on myself, regardless of what outside people want.
It, right.
Whatever outside people want could never confine me unless I accepted those, that confinement. And so I've always been experimental with my music. I've always been an open-minded person and someone who thinks out of the box. And we just continue to do that regardless of what people might feel, because I want to be a true artist. I don't want to be just a product or living up to any expectation. I want to be able to express myself truly. But my true expression does pay respect to my tradition. It's not, I don't need to rebel against my tradition.
Right.
To be true, because right. I love my tradition.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it is always a part of what we do.
On this record, you had a variety of collaborators on the record. I mean, everyone from Woody Harrelson. Talk about how, when you were going into the making of the record, there were some people you wanted to work with. There certainly were musicians that you recruited. How do you go about saying, here's the players, here's who I'm going to work with on this record?
Well, you know, that is where, I mean, I've worked with Dan Was on 3 albums. The last one before this was a kids album, Family Time. And what Dan always does for me is introduce me to new musicians. Yo, Ziggy, check this guy out, check that guy. And I love that. I love bringing in different musicians to play what I do. Because that alone, even if I bring them in and say, yo, we're doing a reggae song, because they're outside of the reggae genre, they're adding something different right. to it right away.
Right.
You know, without it having to be forced or anything. So I really like that. And Dan really helps me with that a lot. So we brought in the bass player who used to play with Miles Davis and play with Rolling Stones. And we brought in...
Daryl Jones, right?
Daryl. And we brought in the keyboard player from The Roots to play keyboard. I can't remember them name right now, boy. But anyway, it was good. I always love doing that. And Dan brings that to the table, and I love that. So we do that, and then the collaborations in terms of, like, who sings with me on the records. You know, there's always this pressure to do collaborations.
Yeah.
And it's usually a pressure from the idea of how you're going to market. You know, collaboration is like, it's a fad.
Yeah.
It's an in thing. Everybody's doing it.
Featuring.
Yeah. Right. It's like
every song has a featuring.
It's a great way for marketing music. Right. But I don't like that. So I don't do collaborations based upon would be great for marketing. I do collaborations based upon the spontaneity of it happening. It's like with Woody Harrelson.
Well, spontaneity, I think, comes with it, right?
Yeah, it wasn't something that I thought about, like, oh, what, a month ahead, yo, let's get Woody on the record. That would be good to market the album or nothing like that. Woody came by the house and I was doing the song and, you know, we jumped in. Yeah, we ended up, Woody, come and sing with me, and that's how it worked. Heavy D is on one of the songs to it, and that was from me and him kind of bumping into each other at a school that both our daughters go to, and it was like, yo, I'll go on every we haven't seen each other in a long time, and yo, let's hook up. And he came by the studio one day. I was listening back to the track that he's on, and he started to do a little impromptu rap, and I was like, hey, that sound good, man. What do you think? Yeah, man, I'm saying, let me jump on this track, and he's on that track. You know, Daniel, my son, is on a song called Changes. He was in town. He wants to be a musician. He wants to get into music. I said, all right, come sing on a track with me, and, you know, let's try get you out there in that way or whatever. So that's how I like to do collaborations.
Well, it's interesting when you mention your son, because, you know, that I have a son who's a musician, and he actually he's getting ready to go to college, and he asked me the question, you know, Dad, I don't suppose you'd let me skip the college thing and just pursue the band. Now, when you're a guy in the music business, you're like, oh, how do I answer this question honestly? Because as you well know, it's in your own case, you know, being a successful musician and becoming your own man, But having obviously a father of, you know, a stature that he did, it adds an extra pressure on someone who wants to perform. But you also know it's not a snap of the fingers to succeed in this business. So how do you feel about, you know, when he comes to you and says, maybe I want to do this? Is like, let's go for it because it's the family tradition? Or do you have those parental concerns?
Well, I have those concerns, you know, because as you say, especially today, the music business is not a snap of the finger and it's success. It's hard work. And you always should have options and something to back it up with. You know, you need, I think education is very important for any musician today. You know, education is a good way for kind of have something else to do in case the music, it's not certain.
Yeah.
It's not certain, no matter if you name Marley or whatever, it's just not certain. So I kind of, I give him caution and say, you know, here's my advice of how you should do this and what you should do. But, you know, there, you know, he's a big man, so he has to make his own decision. But I have given my advice.
You know? Well, and I guess, you know, like any good parent, you have to counsel them to say, if it's a real passion.
Yeah.
And are you ready to make the sacrifice that it takes to make it? Because there is sacrifice involved.
I think the main thing for this generation is it's not going to be easy. Don't, you know, because they seem to want things happen very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's, it's not. It's not going to happen very quickly. You have to work hard at it. My father and my mother and my grand aunt who basically raised me. My father and my mother, they were in the music business. And, you know, we started in the music business in 79, you know, and, you know, they kind of, you know, it was his student, he put us in there. But it was always education first, even for my father.
Right.
It was like school first. Because he knew education is, you know, not only say if you want to be do a job or be a doctor or whatever, but just knowledge.
Awareness.
You know, yeah, it's like, this is the most important thing for us as a people to gain is education. You know what I say? So that's where I got that from my family instilling that in me, education first. Music will come, but education first, you know?
And obviously, you know, the more you become, there's two kinds of education too. There's the book learnedness, and then there's the social interaction that comes from going to schools and figuring things
out.
How the world is going to work.
Experiences.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're a strong proponent of legalization of marijuana, and you've been pretty outspoken and pretty forthright about it. How do you get? How are you currently, I guess, engaged in that push? I mean, clearly on the new album, there's more than a couple shout-outs to the cause.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to clarify this every time because, you know, I am a proponent of the plant. And when people think about me and the plant, automatically they only think about smoking marijuana.
Right.
But that's not what I'm about, or that's not all that I'm about. Sure, certainly, you know, there's medicinal value and, you know, it have its recreational use or it's whatever. But what I'm trying to do is open up the discussion about the plant, the whole plant, and the uses of the whole plant beyond the smoking of it, the industrial use of the plant, the environmental impact. If America would legalize the growing of hemp, what positive impact that would have on the country and the planet and the people and the environment. There's nutritional value to the seeds. Hemp seeds is one of the most nutritional vegetables in the whole plant world. And, I mean, it's a natural resource that, just like oil or gas or coal or wind or solar, it's a natural resource that can be put to use and should be put to use because it is beneficial to the people. It is beneficial to the society. And so I'm trying to paint a broader picture of the plant beyond the stereotypical way that it is portrayed in the media. It's beyond just, it's not a pothead issue.
There you go.
It's beyond that.
Right.
It's bigger than that. And it's more meaningful than that stereotypical pothead guy or girl that you see portrayed.
Yeah.
So it's way beyond what people think it is, you know, for me.
See, that, I'm glad I asked that question, because that gave clarity, and hopefully it gives clarity to our audience that you do have a deeper and broader concern. And
yeah, man, it's way beyond that.
Well, that's
and
cool.
I must say to when people ask me that, because people think I'm a big, I'm not a, hey, I'll say this, I'm not a pothead, all right? No.
Not the schedule you're keeping, be too tough.
I'm just saying that. It's used very wisely, and where I come from in my tradition, it's used respectfully and in a spiritual way for that purpose. It's not something to be abused or misused or just taken lightly. It's a very thing that is consciously done with wisdom, you know?
That's great, and that gives me a good thing for I guess what we could consider a final question. You mentioned spirituality. And whenever I listen to your music, you do hear, you know, Bono was quoted as saying, you know, most people make music, they're trying to reach each other, you know. And Bono said, I try to make music that reaches out to God. It sounds to me like you do too. Well, as you speak to the people, you are reaching to a higher power in your music. How much of your own spirituality drives your music?
Well, 100%. I give all the credit to this, what we call spirituality, to this force that we have different names for, or that we're not sure about, but we know something exists out there. God, whatever you want to call it, this is where I get everything from. And through writing songs, I experience that. And the more I write songs, the more confident I get that something does exist beyond the material, beyond the physical. And that's why I love writing songs so much, because it gives me that, it's like it gives me that experience of that other thing.
That connection.
Yeah, you know, it kind of, I'm like, wow, yeah, there's something there, you know. So, you know, I actually believe I get, at least I know there's certain songs that I've written, you know, like Love Is My Religion. I believe that came from that source to give to the people. I believe that idea of let's get beyond how man has corrupted the idea of this spirituality, of this God figure, to make it become this divisive tool and this thing that is so corrupted now, and get back to the idea of what it is supposed to be, which is love. I think that song actually came from the source that I should give to, and I think few songs come from that source.
Spirituality versus religion.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Versus, let's say, what do you call it? The institution of religions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how I think about it, you know?
Well, I got to thank you for coming, because there's so many questions that can be asked. But we really, you know, one of the things we wanted to make sure that our listeners knew about, other than, hey, you know what? I'm sure you'd accept another Grammy if they asked you to come up on stage and take it, you know, because
yeah,
it's
no,
always nice.
I appreciate it.
You know, it's always good. But the show this weekend, for all the people who are coming to Club Nokia, we really want to remind them that in your heart, you're trying to provide for the children, and education is key. And all you're asking, in addition to coming down and seeing a great show,
yeah,
is if they can find a used children's book and bring it along, because I'm sure if you see big stacks of books, it's got to make the evening so much purer for you.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely. It's always good to have a larger purpose and reason behind, hey, I'm getting paid or whatever. You know, it's always, it fills your heart, you know, that this is not just about me getting paid or whatever, or coming to a good show, but we're doing more things behind it, you know.
Well, that's good. And that's why we were really blessed to have you stop out and see us. And we want to thank everyone. It's Ziggy Marley. Thanks for coming by to KCSN.
Thanks for having me.
You got it.